Man, I have a lot of scriptures. I can say I got four pages of them. And this is a little bit different than what I normally do. But I'd like to ask you a question. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. And if you remember that little prayer that he taught them, he said, "Our Father, which art in heaven," what's the rest? "Hallowed be thy name," what? "Thy kingdom come." I'm not going to go any further than that because that's what I'm going to talk about, his kingdom. And I was reminded also in the Bible, Jesus, he was always having a negative encounter with the adversaries of the kingdom. And they were talking about, "But we have our father Abraham as our father." And he disagreed with them just a little bit. He says, "No," he says, "who your father is the devil. The father of darkness, that's who your devil is, who your father is." And so I was thinking about the kingdom, just like I said in that prayer there, that we should be praying for the kingdom. I mean, that's high on the list. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done." Well, I'd like to examine that just a little bit. And I did, and I went through both the Bible and the Book of Mormon, and I found every scripture that had to do with the kingdom of God or the kingdom of the Lamb or the kingdom. And I cut those down, and there were several repeats and some saying similar things, but the whole lot of stuff in there about the kingdom. And I remember years ago, I think it must have been Archie Bell, may have been somebody else, but he was talking about the kingdom. Maybe a little bit different way I'm going to take it, but he said that every kingdom has got a king. The kingdom has got principals, rulers, magistrates, princes and dukes and people engaged in the kingdom. They have the rules of the kingdom, and they have a place for the kingdom. And everything that I'm read in the scripture right here indicates this is that such is the kingdom of heaven. And so it leads me to believe, it says, that if we can kind of put this together, at least me, if we can kind of put this together, we kind of get an idea of what is expected in the kingdom. When God develops his kingdom, there's going to be a king. There's going to be his magistrates. There's going to be his subjects. There's going to be his rules. And so I'm going to be looking for all of that as I'm looking for the kingdom. And in fact, if I go through the Bible, especially in the Bible, and probably a little bit in the Book of Mormon, but if I go through the Bible there, I can find that there in Isaiah, it talks about the kingdom. I think it's the 11th chapter of Isaiah. It's talking about that the wolf and the lamb and the calf and the all of these, the violent and the peaceful are going to be living together and peaceably together. The little child is going to put his hand on the cockatrice den right here. There's not going to be hurt nor harm in all my holy kingdom. Well, you know, that right there is a tip that in the kingdom, there's going to be a certain mood. That certain mood is not going to be an impatient mood. It's not going to be a disgruntled mood. It's not going to be a dissatisfied, discontent attitude, but it's going to be one of eagerness and of joy and of longing and of love and of peace. All that stuff that we read about, that's what's going to be there. And what I'm fearful of, if I don't meet the qualifications that the Bible and the Book of Mormon is talking about the kingdom right here, I may not be there. And so I need to know what are the parameters involved. Then I need to know, where am I? Am I squared up with what God wants of me? And then what am I doing to get there? So here we go. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to, I may not, and I may not even get through all these. I got 22 of them. I got 22 scriptures. I may not get through all these right here. I'm going to try though. And I may not read all of them, but I'm going to try to tell you where it's coming from. And so this first one right here is Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 31st verse. And it says, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? And by the way, every one of these 22 verses right here, every one of those verses has in it the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of the Lamb. It's in every one of these that I'm going to quoting. So here I go back what I was saying. What shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that we have need of all these things. And I hear him, I think. I'm not saying this real spiritually minded, but I think I hear in our Father, the King. Well, Father, I'm worried about what I'm going to eat tomorrow. And I can hear him saying, you don't have to worry about that. I know what you have need of. But I'm worried about, you know, my britches are getting all rattered and torn right here. I know what you need to wear. Well, yeah, but, you know, I don't know where I'm going to go. I know where I want to send you. And so I detect right here that the Father says that he knows all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for itself. Seek first the kingdom of God. I need to ask myself that question. When I get up in the morning and I got a scroll on a dozen piece of papers of things that I got to do. And I can see that, boy, there's more that I've got scrolled out here than I can possibly get done today right here, but I'm sure going to make an effort at it. I'm sure going to be working hard right here. Is the kingdom involved with that? That which I should be praying for, that what I'm concerned about, God sees that, is that this is my kingdom and I'm calling my people together right here. Are you aware of that and are you concerned about that? I think that he's asking me that question. Are you seeking first? Well, what am I doing to seek first the kingdom? What have I done? What is in my plan? In my plan right here, I've got something that surely has to do with God. It has to do with something that's going to help build that kingdom and bring it to pass. What is it? And at the close of that day, when I'm done with my day and I fall in bed right here and I turn over and I begin thinking and rehearsing, what did I do for the King today? What did I do to help bring to pass the kingdom? And I'm sad to say sometimes that the King wasn't involved in my day. Sad to say that those hours that passed that won't ever be reclaimed, that won't ever be repeated, that there was nothing done for the kingdom. Well, he's called me to do that. And I need to start stoking the timbers right here and getting the boiler going right here so that there is something within me that is helping somewhere, doing something for the kingdom. And that's the kingdom of God. Here's another one, Mark 4 and 30. He says, wherefore shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare? And so I'm looking at this. All right, we're going to see, we're going to measure this. He's going to give us something right here that is like the kingdom, like it's happening, like it's going to come to pass. How is it going to work? What's it going to do? What am I looking forward? And it says, whereto shall I liken it and compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which was sown in the earth, is less than the seeds that it be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs that shooteth forth as great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. It's like this, and I've seen them before. I've seen a grain of mustard seed. You can't see the little dot between my finger right there, about that big. And what Jesus is saying is that little molecular insignificant mustard seed right here. Jesus is saying, plant that in the ground. And you plant that in the ground, and by, it's going to grow up big. It's going to grow up big that the birds are going to come in, and birds can call that home everywhere. And here's my thought on it. You may have some different thoughts, but this is how I think about it. That little seed may be me or you. And Jesus is saying, take that little seed and plant it and by faith right here, nurture it and grow it right here and cause it to grow right here. And as it grows and as it gets bigger right here, that it is going to have a dramatic, positive, beneficial effect on everybody around it. That little seed that was not, that was nowhere and you couldn't see it and it was insignificant, it planted and it grew up. And it's a place of nourishment. Well, who am I nourishing? Who am I in this seed that's growing up right here, and I'm old enough to be a somewhat mature mustard tree. And so here I am, and I'm flourishing, and it says the kingdom of heaven is like this. And here's this big old tree right here. And am I dropping poison ivy petals all over? Am I? When you taste of me, boy, that's pretty bitter and pretty ugly and not tasty, and I don't desire it, and I don't like it. Or is it when somebody nibbles off of me, or somehow comes in contact with me, and I'm talking about us? When that happens right here, is that? The eyes of the seeker of the kingdom, are they open now? And they can see that, boy, that is good. That's beneficial. That's a blessing. That brother, that sister, that person of our ilk right here, that crawl underneath their tree right here, you'll be blessed. You'll be comforted. You'll be sheltered from some storm and some heat right here. Boy, that is good. Now here's another way of looking at it. That seed that's planted, that little mustard seed right here, and we can't see it. It fell on the ground. It's buried there. It got swallowed up by the earth right here. We don't know. Well, that seed could be seed that's planted everywhere across this earth. It's a mystery. And here that seed is growing right here, and God has shed forth, and the angels have gone by, gone through, and they have sown the seed, or his children have sown the seed. And all these little mustard seed plants right here are beginning to grow just a little bit. And as they grow right here, the world didn't see it coming. The world is looking, they got big old binoculars, they got magnifying glasses, they're trying to see, you know what those Christians doing? We're gonna smash them out. We're going to squash them before they get ahead of us right here. They're a threat. And they're looking, and they don't see it right here, but everywhere is that little mustard seed growing. And before, by and by, it's like the kingdom of heaven right here. It's going to grow up and provides everything that is needful for life and happiness and goodness and mercy and everything that the human soul is looking for. It was there. That's like the kingdom of heaven. And so how do I fit in that? Is that who I am, or am I some dried pole? Some leafless, branchless thing that grew up right here and got no bark and got no life in it and just bone dried right here. And somebody come by and all they can think of is look out, because those branches are sharp and they're like splinters right here. They're going to dig you. They're going to scratch you right here. Take a walk around that tree right there. Don't, you know, that tree right here, I tell you what we need to, you got a good chainsaw, right? We need to cut that tree down. Now see, God has expressed those kind of thoughts. He's talking about trees, he's talking about fruit, and he's looking to get fruit, and he's looking to see what there is delicious and tasty, and he wants that, and he says in the Bible right here, he says if it don't bear fruit, he says what? Cut it down and burn it. Well, he's looking at us that same way. He's looking at me that same way. He's looking right here. He says, Randy, you know, my axe is back here. I ain't got it out yet. You got some more time. I don't like that thought. I believe that thought is true, though. I believe that there is a cutting down time. I believe that there's coming for a whole lot of unsuspecting people. Where's your fruit? What have you done for the kingdom? Or have you been this old dried branch that gets in everybody's eye and splinters and cracks and slivers, and somebody's got to be called to dig it out, and it's just painful. You're painful, Randy. That'd be terrible. Be terrible. Go on to another one. If thy foot offend thee, do what? If thy eye offend thee, do what? Plug it out. It is better for you to enter into life. This is Mark 9:45. Enter into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. 47, but if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell. What he's saying, he's not just talking about eyes and feet. He's talking about anything that's an offense to the kingdom of God. He's talking about that whatever there is in us that is unsavory, unproductive, that is not helpful, that is injurious, that creates quite some problems right here. You need to deal with that. Something has to be done. And unless we do it, someone else is going to do it for us. And so the advice is that we don't excuse ourselves. When we're out there and we're in this world that we're living in, and this world has got all kind of pulls and enticements and all kind of things that cause people to get steered the wrong way fast. If we see ourselves being steered that way, what he's saying, you best do something about it. Get rid of that, whatever it is that is an offense to you and your soul, to God and to anybody else that's looking at you. If there's anything that you're doing, that's the only thing I do. Yeah, if you're aware of it, you need to deal with it. But I only cuss on Wednesdays. Well, you need to stop cussing on Wednesday. But I don't smoke, but only a half a pack of cigarette right here. It's a half a pack too much. Well, I only drink beer right here. Yeah, but your son see you drinking that beer right here, and you have created in him a desire to drink beer. Whatever there may be. I'm watching TV right here, and I can't get away from it, and I'm attracted to the things of the world and those skimpy girls and that violent action and all that razzmatazz and all that magic stuff going on right here. I just got to get rid of it. Cut it off if you have to, so that you can go into the kingdom of God at least alive. But when Jesus, this is Mark 10:14. But when Jesus saw, he was much displeased, and he's disgusted at the disciples. Remember the story? I don't like to give away too much right here. But they're getting together there, and there's a crowd coming, and instantly Jesus was disgusted in the disciples. What about? Well, the parents wanted the children to be blessed, and the children are in the way. We got important topics to talk about. We got the world to solve right here. We gotta see how we're gonna take the kingdom right here. You know, and so get the kids out of here. And Jesus said what? That's right. For such is the kingdom of heaven. What is the point of that? The point of that is that there's gotta be some childlike thinking and feeling here in the kingdom of God. There's got to be this sweetness, this innocence, this childlikeness. That's who's going to be there. Around that table of the kingdom of God, they're coming there as they come in and they occupy and they're permitted to occupy in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the Lamb right here. Every one of them. There's not going to be a proud, pompous person there. There's not going to be any person right there who's got foul thoughts and he's doing foul things and he keeps stuff in the background right here that he does that is unsavory. They're not going to be there. But what's going to be there is this childlikeness which says, Daddy, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. I forgive you. Dad, I don't want to do that anymore. Then I'll help you. There's not going to be any of this. I know all the answers, my children. Come to me and I shall give you. That folk is not going to be there. They're going to be the humble. They're going to be the childlike children of God. And you've met them. I want to tell you what. I've met them and I've got them as some of my closest friends. Is people who are, they match whatever I read about being a child. I'm talking about in all of its lovely sense. And it's desirable and it's attractive. My grandbabies, your grandbabies, you get any of our little children right here, we can just sit down. It's better than any TV show. We just sit down and just watch them and see how they talk with each other and how they react to one another and how they come and they want their dad and their mom. I was just reading who was that, Becky, I read here just the other day out of that book, Edgar Guest, talking about dinner time. He's talking about dinner time and here his daughter and his son comes in and they're yakking and their eyes are aglow and their cheeks are rosy and they're excited and they're wanting to tell their dad and their mom about the day and so forth. And in that poem, as he goes in and out right here, he weaves in about the adulthood. Yes, but that's not adult language. And that's, you know, we're interested in thermodynamics and we want to talk about important things right here. And the kids are talking about, you know, how they found a couple of worms out in the pond right here and what they did with them. And they played with their shoes and socks off in the mud and they got muddy right here. And boy, Dad, I can't wait to see you. And Mom, I love you. All of that stuff. That's the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus loves. And he loves that in his people. And he loves that when we're like that with one another. And that's the goal that we ought to be having. Not the goal to become more mature and more knowledgeable, understanding, and more able to occupy the number one and number two seats right here. He wants us to be like the children. It's what he desires. That's what's going to be there. Ain't going to be any others that is going to be there. He's going to be surrounded by, of such is the kingdom of heaven. He's surrounded by them. Mark 10:23. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto the disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard it is for them to trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. For it's easier what? Boy, you are a Bible student. I'm proud of you. You're right on the money, Bonnie. You're every one of these. It's easier for a camel. I've never tried it. I think I'm pretty close. Probably touching the top of the camel hump. About like this. Now, the way I understand it, that in the walls of Jerusalem right here was the eye of the needle, which is a little opening right here. And I think what I can remember is it's for defense purposes. It's for, there are for some good reasons there. You know, the little people and the people can come in, but it's hard for an army to get through there and so forth. And he's saying, it's easier for this guy. This big old hump guy right here, it's easier for him to get down on his knees there and to struggle his way through this little, small, little opening. It's easier for him than for a rich man. Because where is his concern? And he says that. For a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God right here. His concerns are on his riches and on his money bags. His concern is about his empire. And because his concern is there, he can't fulfill what Jesus asked right here. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. He can't satisfy that. He just can't do it. Now, there have been, and I believe there are, and I feel that I know some. There are some people whom I say God graced with money, with riches, with the power. I've met people right here and says, you know, You need $500. Okay, well, give me a couple of minutes, and boy, he can appear with it. I have met people right here who have got money, and I've met them, the same person right here, who with his money, he uses that for the kingdom. And doesn't that agree with the Book of Mormon? It says if you seek for riches, you'll seek for the kingdom's sake. And so that's good. But Jesus is making something right here for which most mature parents, now I'm not putting a positive spin on the mature parents. I'm just, most parents right here, of the world right here, what are they doing with their children? They're sitting their children down and saying, now listen, kid, you ain't going to get rich that way. Now, let me tell you some secrets about making money and making a success in this life. What that kid knows is he's growing up. As he's been in that family. All he knows is this is how you become rich. This is how you do it. This is, I'm giving you every advice that I can give you right here so that you can excel in this world and make a whole lot of money. And Jesus says, I would that you sought the kingdom of heaven and all these things be added to you. Mark 12:33. Oh boy. And to love him, how much are you to love the Lord? To love him with all your heart, this man responds to this. And he answered in such a way as it pleased the Lord. And so he says this, well, you should love the Lord with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and to love thy neighbor as himself is more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. What a world would that be in? What a community that would be in our experience. What a church that would be in is if we all love the Lord our God with all of our heart, might, mind, and strength. We love him, and it's obvious we love him to the max. We love him and disdain the loves of this world. Such is the kingdom of heaven. Who is going to be there in that kingdom? Those that are going to be there in that kingdom are going to be the lovers of the Lord God. They're going to love him, and as he walks by, as he passes up and down the streets, however it's configured right here, the kingdom of God, however that's set up right here, he's going to walk by and he sees, oh man, do they love me? Have you, and I know you have you met? Can you discern that from your wife or your husband? Can you get that from your kids or your grandkids? Do you get that from maybe some of your friends or people that have met you? That they love you. You know it. When you walk by, and I'm just talking about how this looks. When you're walking by right here, they're nodding their head at you, and they're wanting to shake your hand, and they're opening the door, and I'm not trying to get weird on this, and I'm not trying to say that this is overdone right here. You can discern when somebody loves you. Well, God can discern. And God discerned when he sees his children, as his children come in, he discerns right here. He says, I'll tell you what, that's one of my children right there. Well, how? Because he loves me. Well, how do you know he loves me? Well, he loves the Word of God. He's reading the scriptures right here, and he's oftentimes got his hands on his chin right here, and he may be looking up, and he's saying a prayer, and he's talking to God, and he's making communication, and he's expressing joy and gratitude and appreciation. God hears it, and he sees it. And God's looking down there, and his big hand just casts a shadow right over him right there. And he says, you're my son. You're my daughter. I love you too. Boy, that's good. Of such is the kingdom of heaven. That's got to be. Anything less than that. There's not going to be Randy Sheldon sitting there in the kingdom in some chair and some big padded recliner chair right here and just watching everybody doing whatever they're doing. They're going to the choir and they're singing and they're praying and they're looking with adoration at the king. And Randy Sheldon ain't going to be sitting there in some chair right here and say, well, okay, you guys, head off right here. I got, you know, I'm tired. I got other things to do. My time there in the kingdom would be brief. Second page. Sorry. Mark, the 15th chapter and the 43rd verse. Now listen to this. Real short. Mark 15:43. Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, he's doing something. Who is Joseph of Arimathea? He's the guy that went to Pilate right here. I want to be this guy. Joseph Arimathea. He comes out of the darkness, out of the obscurity, a little quiet there. Wasn't a real broadcast Christian right here. But when they crucified his Lord, he come out. He says, I want his body. Give it to me. The Bible says he said it boldly before Pilate. Give me his body. Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God. Anticipation. It's coming. Like I said right here, find that in the 11th chapter of Isaiah. You find that in the first part of the New Testament right here. You find it all the way at the end where they're talking about the 1,000-year millennial reign. And then there's a time after the 1,000 millennial reign. There's a time for which the saints meet with God forever. You got the kingdom of God. And here's Joseph of Arimathea right here. He is waiting for it. I'm waiting for it. It's just like somebody is coming to visit you right here. I'm waiting for them. I can't wait till they get here. I'm got everything ready. I've done everything I can right here. Yeah, I'm waiting for them. I can't wait. I'm jittery on the edge of my seat. That is of such is the kingdom. It's how we ought to look. That's how we ought to feel. We're waiting for the king to come. We're waiting for his kingdom to come to pass. We're waiting to take our part and our place. Luke 6:19. And the whole multitude sought to touch him. You know, I visited with a woman Wednesday. I didn't have this verse in mind right here, but it sure reminds me of it right now. But I visited with this woman Wednesday. And I said, what would you do if Jesus came and knocked at your door? She said, well, I'd come to the door and I'd open it and I'd say, what do you want? I said, no. Come in, please. Come in and sit down. The fatted calf is ready right here. Bring the best we got. Bring it on. The king's here. I'm not asking, well, what do you want? And so here the multitude sought to touch him, for they went virtue out of him, and he healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes to his disciples, and he said, blessed be the poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. The poor? What's so virtuous necessarily about the poor? Well, I think what it is this crowd right here, they came and they want to touch him. They were the ones down on their knees kissing his feet. They were the one right here who couldn't get close enough and couldn't touch him enough. They were the ones who didn't have all the distractions that kills the spirit. And they were part of this kingdom of God right here. And he says, if such the poor. Well, I'm not advocating that we all sell everything we got. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that our hearts need to have, blessed are the poor in spirit. We need to have this humble view of God, that he is the king and that we're his children right here. He's our father, and come and rescue me and take care of me and bless me, and we'll bless you. Jesus saith them, Luke 9:62. Jesus saith unto them, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is what? Is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Any man, back in those days right here, they had a plow pulled by a mule, by an ox, by a horse, and he's plowing, and it's hard duty. And so he's plowing it, and he's got a long ways to go, and he's plowing. Brother Leslie, have you ever been behind the plow? Is it easy or is it hard? So he's saying right here, any man behind that plow right here, and he's got a long ways up there that road. He's got to plow that road. And boy, he's just like Leslie, he's talking, it's hard work. Sun's beating down, boy, and that horse may not be pulling as fast and as hard and as strong as he wanted to right here. Get up, get going, pull it! And you're pulling through some rock and some roots and some hard pan clay right here, and you're pulling through that, and you turn around. What did I do? I think maybe I'm going to leave this with somebody else right here. I'm going back to the house. He says, not worthy of me. If we're members of the Church of Christ, if we are children of the King, if that's who we are, He has given us some hard duty. He's given us a road to plow. We've got a job to do right here. And if we're looking back and it ain't worth it, I'm going fishing like Peter said, right? Or I'm like that disciple of Paul right here says, he loved the world more than loved God and he left. If that's who we are right here, if we can't take it, we can't take the pressure, we can't take the persecution, we can't take the things that's required of us as children of God, we're not worthy of it. They're not going to be there in the kingdom. But those that do, and they stay, and they plow the furrow all the way to the end. That's my son. That's my daughter. There should be weeping and gnashing. This is Luke 13:28. Luke. There should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When ye shall see Abraham, and he's talking to the Pharisees, he's talking to those that weren't the children. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when you see all these guys and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and ye yourselves are thrust out, and they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. He's saying, it kind of reminds me of the ark. Kind of reminds me that the water's rising in the ark. You've heard the story right here. I ain't going to spend much time on it. The water's rising right here, and you can see from far off, and you're swimming, and you're dog paddling right here, and you're getting close to the boat right here, and you can see slowly right here, there's a big hand pressing that door shut. And in my own mind, I kind of saw it as the ark is sort of transparent. Can you imagine there being outside and the water's rising right here, and now it's above your shoulders, and it's coming up right here, and as it's coming up, now you're treading water. And you're over there by the boat right here, and you're looking in, and you see Noah, and you see his Mrs. Noah, and you see all the kids right here, and they're all feeding the cattle and taking care of the chores, and they're cleaning up the things that need to be cleaned up. And they're doing all that stuff right here. You can see it. It'll be just like that gnashing of teeth. So when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the holy patriarchs and all the saints, and they're in there and they're sitting down with Jesus in the kingdom of God, and it suddenly dawns on you, why didn't I get into the boat earlier? Why did I wait? Why did I put it off? I knew the constraints. I knew the parameters of who was going to be in there. I knew that, but I'd rather do something else at the time, and I've still got time. He says, for that crowd right here, there's going to be a whole lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's going to be this, it's going to settle down big time, strong. I'm not ready, and I wasn't invited, and I'm not permitted to come in there. there's something that we can do. There's something, all of these things right here, there is something that we can get our hand on right here and we can do to begin partitioning God to come in, to occupy within me and to cause. I tell the Lord all the time, Lord, save me. Deliver me. Deliver me from the wretched man that I am. I'm sorry. This is Luke 19:16. I'm going to tell you the story because it's too long. Luke 19:16. This is kind of like the parable of the talents, but this is the parable of the pound. And the good master, the proprietor, the one that owns the farm. He's got servants right here, and he said, okay, he said, I'm going to leave. I'm going to be taken off, and I'm going to give every one of you a pound. Everybody gets a pound, same amount of money, a pound. You get that? I'm going to go on this far journey right here, and I'm going to see what you do with it. And so he goes. And he comes back, and hired guy on the farm right here, he says, all right, he says, I'm back. He says, what have you done with the pound that I gave you? He says, the pound that that you gave me, I've made 10 pounds. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You now take control over 10 cities. And away he went. Well done. Second guy comes up right here and he was given a pound. He said, my good man right here, what did you do with the pound that I gave you? He says, that pound that I gave you, here it is. I made it 5 pounds. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You're in control of 5 cities. So he goes. The other guy comes in and he sees and there's an immediate reaction right there. And he says, master, he says, the pound that you gave me, I've got it. I put it in a napkin right here. And here it is, that which you gave me, because I knew that you were an austere man and that you reaped where you didn't sow. He says, you're going to be cursed by the very words that you just said. You knew that I was an austere man. You knew that I reaped where I didn't sow. You knew where I collected, where I didn't plant. That I want the value and I want an increase on my investment. And you didn't invest it a bit. You could have taken it to the bank and you didn't do a thing with it. And you've given it back to me and you didn't expand that a bit. God has given us each a pound. We're all given something by God Almighty. And he's asking that and he's going to come. He's going to do that, and he's going to ask everyone, not one of us are escaped this question. What have you done with the pound that I gave you? And I declare that every one of our pounds are different. Every one of us has got a different investment, a way that you can grow that investment. But you've been given something that God expects for you to do and for me. If we don't do it, if there's not increase, in fact, is if I was working on a job, if I was still working right here, and if I had, my mother used to tell me that all the time. She says, Randy, she says, when you're on the job, they shouldn't have to hire somebody to follow you around to make sure you're doing the job. And if I had an employer right here who hired me, and as men that I've known right here, spend most of their working career looking to escape work and to avoid the boss seeing what they're not doing. And I would hate to see what that boss would say if I'm running and ducking and I'm not really a productive employee. And he would say, why should I keep you, Randy? Why, you know, what value is it to the kingdom to have you on board right here? Because all you do is occupy space. You're just somebody that the guys have to sweep around and they have to move things and they have to, excuse me, can I get by here? You're in the way and you're not any value to the kingdom. We had, years ago, we had a man in the church, Brother Reed. No? Blind? Yes? Somebody asked him, Brother Reed, why do you come to all the services here? You're flat out blind. He said, my presence ought to mean something. He was in his blind condition. He was an investment. He was one that you want in the pew. I want you, Brother Swain, Brother Reed, I want you here. Onward and forward. All right. I want you to ponder on this verse. This is deep. I'm not going to tell you everything that I'm thinking. But I'm going to turn you to Romans, the 14th chapter and the 14th verse. I'll tell you this. This is a verse for the Church of Christ. And here's what it says. Paul speaking. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus. I know this. I know this is the mind of Jesus. How do I know that? Well, he says, I never was taught it by men. I was taught it by the Holy Spirit, by God Almighty. I know this from the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself. If I had a dirty dog bone laying on the ground right here, I'm not going to walk around that dirty dog bone and say, that thing is sinful. There's something intrinsically evil with that dirty dog bone. Because there isn't. If I had a friend, hope I can say this gently right here. If I was a Jewish person right here, and if I'm not a Jewish person, but I was had a Jewish friend, and we're walking by, and we go to a restaurant right here, and I'd say, well, you know, give me that pork tenderloin. That's what I'd like to have right there. And this Jewish man is going to go like this. And if I'm particularly evil right here, I might say, I'll tell you what, you know, I'm buying right here, and I want two pork tenderloins right here, one for me and one for my Jewish friend. That's evil. And so he says right here, I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. And so he gives grace to that. He gives grace right here that here's this Jewish man, this Muslim guy, this man right here, and this guy is living, this is the way I understand it, his faith right here, and in his faith is that there are some things that are evil. Pork is evil. I cannot eat that because God might do whatever retribution there would be for somebody who's Jewish or Arabic to do that. And so to him it's evil. I can't do anything about that. I can't say, what is wrong with you? Get over it. Pray about it. You know, just drop that. That's a silly little philosophy you got right here. Just get to terms with what really God wants. To him it's evil. But the fact is, it is not evil. And then maybe one day, there's going to be a day of epiphany for which that day will come, for which he will come as he's reading in the New Testament. He reads about Jesus and he reads about that he is the Lamb and he was slaughtered and that kind of thing right here is not really where I'm at. I'm now into Jesus. Then it's not evil anymore. I'm persuaded that the Lord Jesus, there is nothing unclean or evil to him that esteemeth anything that is unclean, to him is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably? He's saying that cryptically, somewhat sarcastically. That Muslim, that Jewish person's here in our church. And we have a dinner here and we have pork cutlets right here. And we all go down and say, I'm sorry, buddy. You know, man, I tell you, we're going downstairs. We're going to have a feed right here, but you stay right here because I know you don't like that. I don't know why. It's kind of a silly belief right here. I don't believe it. You're kind of nutty for feeling that way, but we're going to go down and eat right here and then I'll call you and we go home. I'm sorry you're not getting anything to eat today. He says, now walkest thou uncharitably? You're gonna be that. You realize somebody has those kind of feelings right here, and then you're gonna castigate them. You're gonna deprive them. You're gonna make some kind of a wicked little thrust towards them, saying, "You're not with us. You're not part of us right here." And so just sit over there beside yourself. Pray about this. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Now here we go. Let not them then your good be evil spoken of. When they leave here, I said, I tell you what, I ain't ever going back. I'm never coming back here. Why? I never felt so castigated. I never felt so rejected. I never felt so alone, so humiliated in my life. I'm done with this place. For the kingdom of God is evil spoken of. 17th verse. For the kingdom of God is not meat. It's not ham. It's not pork. It's not some kosher food. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink. It's not what I choose to drink or prefer or not prefer. It is not that. It is not the physical something that we eat and, ooh, this is evil and, ooh, this is bad. It is not that. But the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's our scripture. I had 2 pages to go. Okay. 1 Corinthians 6:9. I'm not going to read this, but I'm going to tell you what it is. It is a litany of sins. 1 Corinthians. And with this, and if I remember there in the latter part of Revelation 16, 17, 18, 19, in there somewhere, it has a similar litany of sins. Some of those sins are pretty surprising. In other words, we expect, you know, all the whoremongers and all the rapists and all the, you know, all the murderers and the kidnappers, you know, they're going to hell. But for the fearful, and for liars, and for some of the, you know, maybe the white veiled skin sins right here, not going to be in the kingdom of heaven. And that's what this says right here. Not going to be there. And I would suggest that every Christian needs to read this. This 1 Corinthians 6:9 right here. And to see, whoa, that may be me. I may be doing that. He says they're not going to be there. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. I'm going to skip past it. Are you with me? Can I go longer or shall I shut this down? Jane Ann liked this. She didn't. I'm lying. I'm sorry. All right, real fast. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. In this, I'm going to just try to say it. I won't read it right here. It's talking about charity, and he's talking about how impressed he is by their ability to resist persecution. And by your faith and by your patience right here, it's a manifest token in the 5th verse of your righteous judgment of God, that he may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which he shall suffer. He's talking about the sufferers who suffer willingly, who have endured the crosses of this world right here. They take it and they're still full of love. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being persecuted? Somebody comes up and physically, spiritually, mentally persecutes you, and you turn around and you hug him and says, I hope you have a good day. Oh, man, I tell you what, boy, that would change the world. That would change the world if the world ran into a bunch of people right here who got slapped around and persecuted and so forth, and they're looking at them and says, Well, hope you do well. May the Lord be with you throughout your life. I mean, boy, that would be a dramatic change. Let me keep going. Book of Mormon, 1 Nephi 3, 187. That's page 37. Blessed are they who shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, for the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost shall be there in the kingdom of the Lamb. Blessed are they who shall bring forth my Zion at that day. I'm not going to interpret what your Zion is or what mine is. All I'm saying is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you if your work, your efforts are every day unceasing. You are making an effort. You wake up in the morning. What can I do to bring forth the kingdom of God? Blessed are they that do this. Not those who have ignored the kingdom of God. Not those that haven't got any part of the kingdom of God in their day right here. But blessed are those who seek to bring forth the kingdom of Zion, kingdom of God. There, they will be there. We need to do that. We need to be engaged in that. To help bring forth, help God as He puts on our pound right here. What are you doing with your pound? I'm doing a lot of walking. I'm doing a lot of writing. I'm doing a lot of phone calls. I'm doing a lot of talking. I'm doing what I can for your kingdom. Well done! That's what He said. 2 Nephi 13:29. The gist is to press on, feasting upon the word of God, whereby you shall be saved in the kingdom of God. Endure and press on. It's hard. It's difficult. I'm shorting all this down. I'm in rapid mode right now. Mosiah 9:51, page 260. I'm going to read it. It came to pass that Alma, having authority from God, ordained priests, even priests to every 50 of their number, did he ordain to preach with them and to teach them concerning the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He told those guys, we're going to ordain you, you men, you grow up right here, you ministers, right here, come forward. And your job is going to be twofold, and I haven't read to it yet. Number one fold right here is that you're going to be preaching the kingdom of God. That was job number one right here. I want you to preach the kingdom of God. And so I'm trying to obey that. I'm trying to do just exactly what God has called us, the ministers, to do, is to preach the kingdom of God. Because it's coming. It's on its way. It's going to be here before most of us are ready for it, including myself. But we have to be involved with it. Okay, here's the rest of the scripture. Teach them concerning the kingdom of God. Verse 53, yea, even he commanded them that they should preach nothing save it were repentance and faith on the Lord. Preach the kingdom of God, faith and repentance. Now, and it says right here that don't preach anything else. And so a lot of times we don't like that. In fact, it seems kind of condemnatory. And we as Americans, you know, nobody has a right to tell me to repent. And I'll repent like some people we know that just got elected says he didn't do anything to ever repent. Anyway, we are told by the ministry to tell you folks, and that finger goes back to us right here, repent. Well, repent of what? Every one of us, I'll guarantee you, have an issue. Every one of us sitting here, including this guy right here, has got something that needs to be repented for. If you don't need repentance, then you're perfect. You got it. You're there. You're in. You're in the kingdom right here. You're already there. But there are things for which I know God Almighty right here, and I feel it. And I feel it when I'm doing my crummy thing, or I have a crummy thought, or I'm saying something crummy right here. God Almighty is sitting there, and I hope you repent, Randy. I know He's doing that. And I know he reads in every thought and every deed and everything done right here. He sees it in technicolor, panoramic. And he knows exactly the motivation behind that. And he's saying in his great mind, and he's sending that out, Randy, you better repent of that. We need to repent. We need to take a self-examination in our lives. Do we have something that we got hidden? Do we have something right here that is our private little sin right here that we can turn loose of? He can forgive me of everything, and I think I can squeeze in. I'm dragging this thing, and it says it in another way is they drag sin like a cart rope. And I'm dragging this in here, and I know open them gates wider right here because I'm coming in. I'm bringing this in. No, you're not. You're not bringing that in here. Yeah, but it ain't coming in here. Need to repent. And then it says, and he commanded them that there should be no contentions one with another, but that they should have forward, look forward with one eye, having one faith, one baptism, having their hearts what together? Knit together. I want to sit at the big table of the Church of Christ. I want to get us all of the Church of Christ at that table. That's our brothers and sisters in the Philippines, in Africa, in India, in Honduras, in Mexico. I want us all there. And I want us all there, and we are tight together. And we're eating there, and some of us left-handed guys right here, you know, we got to pull our arm down to be able to eat decently right here. And I want to be able to do that, and I'm looking at every one of our brothers and sisters, and that means us. And I'm proud to sit with you and to eat with you, to sit down to have dinner with you. I desire that. Of such is the kingdom. I got something to say, and I got an issue with you, and there's this division. Forget that. I want to knit my heart together. I might make it. Mosiah 11:187, page 288. Marvel not that all mankind, yea, men and women, all nations, kindred, tongues, and people must be born again, yea, born of God, changed from their carnal and fallen state to a state of righteousness, being redeemed of God, becoming his sons and daughters, and thus they become new creatures. Unless they do this, they can no wise inherit the what? Kingdom of heaven. And what did that say? God is demanding a new nature of all of us. This old stale, stiff, cut Randy Sheldon right here is not going to make it. This old, you know, that's just who I am, and that's all the little cranky ways that I am, and that's how I think, and that's what I do, and that's, you know, and it ain't going to change in the kingdom. A new creature. New way of thinking. New way of dealing with one of us, with each other. New way of, you know, but brother, I've got an issue. No, we ain't going to deal with that way. And you say, well, how can I rephrase that? Lovely brother, can you tell me again what your thought was? A new way. Alma 387, page 319. Yea, thus saith the Spirit, repent all ye ends of the earth, for the kingdom of heaven is, this is the main word, soon at hand. Yea, the Son of God cometh in his glory and his might, majesty, power, and dominion. The whole world, the world composed of unbelievers, unless my little theory about the mustard seed is all over and I didn't see it coming. I pray that it's right. That all over the world there's mustard seeds that are coming up. Big old mustard trees right here all over, and they cover the world. And Jesus claims them as his. He's coming back. He's coming back soon, it says, for his children, and to begin and to establish his kingdom based upon these principles right here. Not what I think, not how I choose, not how immovable I am. This immovability right here can be moved. This rock can be shattered. What does he say? Jesus says that when I come, and if I fall on Jesus, I'll be broken. I think I got it right. But for whom he falls on, the ground to powder. I want to fall on him. And I want to be ready when he comes and when the heavens open up and he's coming. And our world, everything in our world tells us we are in the death rattle of America. We're right there that the harvest of wickedness is going to be ripe, is going to be reaped. And he's going to come and he's going to thresh the nations. But for those that looking for the kingdom, those that are resting underneath the mustard tree, those that have repented, those that are like children, are going to meet him there, and they're going to be ready. Alma 5:33, I've only got three more. For I perceive that you are in the paths of righteousness. I perceive that you are in the path which leads to the kingdom of God. I would love that. A holy man or Jesus himself comes in, or Gabriel, or however it works right here, and they come in and he kind of just glances at me, glances at you right here, and he says, I perceive that you're in the way of righteousness. I perceive that you've made his way straight. Ooh, would that be good? And now, my beloved brethren, Mosiah 9:6, page 772. Now, my beloved brethren, withstanding their hardness, let us labor diligently, for if we should cease to labor, we should be brought under condemnation. For we have a what? We have a labor to perform. Last one. Moroni 10:15, page 776. The most common scripture of all Church of Christ. Wherefore there must be faith, and if there must be faith, there also must be hope. If there must be hope, there must also be charity. And except ye have charity, ye can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God. Unless you have charity. And that charity has a dozen different forms, maybe more. But that charity is perceived, that charity is given out. That charity, the Book of Mormon says, praying earnestly, it was arrived at with great hard effort. But that is what needs to be perceived here in the Church of Christ. That I can see as Jesus perceives their walk, as he looks down, I can see that there is love between the brothers and sisters. I can see it. What a horrible indictment. Could not be worse if the perceivers, whoever they may be of God, and they look down and he says, they don't love each other. There's not much love here. What a terrible, terrible indictment that would be. But I believe that there's love here. I believe that we can all grow a whole lot better. And I believe that we need to be working for what? The kingdom of God. Thank you very much.
Will you please turn to hymn number 318. 318.